Imagine a public health crisis that claims a life, like almost every other day, in just one region.
Yeah, and nobody treats it like an epidemic.
Right. Well, today we are doing a deep dive into the Western Cape Strategic Framework for Drowning Prevention and Water Safety.
It's a heavy topic,
yes.
But so, so important.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this because the numbers are staggering. Over just 7.5 years in this region, there were 1,473 fatal drownings.
Which is roughly a rate of 3.25 per 100,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is when you see a number like that, you realize we have to stop viewing drowning as just, you know, a random tragedy or terrible luck.
Like it's a systemic thing.
Exactly.
Mm.
This framework proves it's a systemic issue. It operates a lot less like bad luck and more like a poorly designed traffic intersection. I mean, it's an environmental trap waiting for human error.
Right. So let's look at who is actually getting caught in that trap, because the data paints a really specific picture.
Yeah, the demographics are striking.
Like, males die at a rate 4.4 times higher than females, and children under 15 make up over 30% of the fatalities.
And kids under 5 are actually at the absolute highest risk.
Wait, let me push back here for a second on that toddler statistic.
Sure.
Toddlers are almost always supervised, right? I mean, are we saying caregivers are just overwhelmingly negligent here?
No, not negligent at all. They're just human.
Okay.
The vulnerability for a toddler is entirely cognitive. They are naturally inquisitive, but they lack any real risk appraisal skills.
So they literally don't know they're in danger.
Right. So if a caregiver gets distracted for literally 30 seconds to check a phone or answer a door, I mean, that is all it takes.
Wow.
The toddler simply doesn't recognize the danger until they are already submerged.
That is terrifying. But then what about the older guys? Why are adolescent and adult males dying at over 4 times the rate of women?
Well, that comes down to a really lethal mix of behavioral risks.
Like what?
You see a clear pattern driven by impulsivity, overestimating their own physical swimming abilities, and very often alcohol consumption around water.
Huh. Okay, so if a toddler's biggest risk is a momentary lapse in supervision, that means the danger isn't necessarily miles away at the beach.
Right. It's lurking right in their backyard.
See, here's where it gets really interesting for me. I always assumed the ocean was the ultimate threat.
And overall, it is the top site. It accounts for about 27% of incidents.
Right. But for kids under 5, swimming pools absolutely dominate at almost 34%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the geography shifts again as kids grow up.
Yeah. For children ages 5 to 14, it's actually inland ponds and dams.
Accounting for 41% of fatalities for that group.
That is a massive jump. Why are everyday inland water sources so lethal for that specific age group?
You really have to picture the socioeconomic reality here. In rural areas and impoverished urban settings, communities often lack safe, dedicated recreational facilities.
So there's nowhere else to go.
Right. Imagine a blisteringly hot summer Saturday afternoon. Kids want to cool off or socialize, so they just head to an unprotected irrigation dam or an open river.
Which perfectly aligns with the incident timing in the data.
Yes. Fatalities peak heavily on summer weekends between noon and 7 p.m.
Wow.
When you have open, hazardous water right next to where children live and play, I mean, the risk just skyrockets.
So, knowing that these traps are everywhere, how do we actually fix the environment?
That's the main challenge, yeah.
Because the framework doesn't just put out a public service announcement telling parents to watch their kids closer.
No, it mandates engineering actual safety layers.
Yeah.
Because we know human supervision fails.
People get distracted.
Exactly. You cannot rely on human perfection. So the framework tries to remove human error entirely by creating a supportive institutional environment.
Right, like pushing for municipal bylaws that mandate four-sided pool fencing.
Yes, that's a huge one.
So if a parent looks away for 1 minute, there is a literal physical barrier catching that toddler before they reach the water, like a safety net.
A physical safety net, exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you combine that engineering with widespread education.
Like integrating standard water safety into school curricula.
Right, through things like life orientation lessons. And then you enforce it all with strict local laws and increased lifeguard employment.
It takes all those layers.
It does. Engineering, education, and enforcement all working together to truly change the environment.
So what does this all mean for you listening?
It proves that true safety isn't just about your own personal vigilance.
No, it's about advocating for systemic environmental design. But before we wrap up, there's one final detail in this framework that brings the danger right back inside our own houses.
Oh, you mean the current drought?
Exactly. The framework briefly mentions regional water scarcity,
which is becoming a huge issue.
Right. And as droughts force us to rely more on informal household water storage, like open buckets, full bathtubs, and rainwater tanks, it raises a really unsettling question.
It really does.
How will the supposedly safe spaces inside our own homes become the new invisible front lines of drowning risk?
Definitely something to think about the next time you fill a bucket.
Totally. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. See you next time.